Aloha, I'm Dr. Kathleen Kozak. Welcome to The Body Show. Each week we talk about health and fitness, but none of what we discuss replaces a visit to your own primary care provider. When you think of the different hospitals we have here on Oahu, do you ever list Kahuku? A lot of people forget that we have a fantastic medical facility that really services most of Oahu's north and northeastern coastline, and the communities from Kualoa to Waimea really use this as their main hospital. Now, today we're going to hear a little bit about the challenges of what it's like to be in a hospital in a rural location, and how is that different than being right downtown in Oahu, in Honolulu, and going to Queens or going to Straub or some of the other urban medical centers. It's actually a lot more like some of our neighbor islands. So I'm happy to be joined by Stephanie Violetta. She is the CEO of Kahuku Medical Center, started off as a social worker and understood the needs of the people, and now is helping to run Kahuku. We also have Dr. Jason Hughes. He is a chief medical officer and hospitalist at Kahuku, and he also is one of the National Health Service Corps scholars. So welcome to both of you to The Body Show.
Thanks for having us here.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here. It's an honor.
Well, now I drive up to the North Shore periodically, usually when I have folks visiting, and I drive by and I see signs that say hospital, and I look off in the distance and there is this wonderfully, colorfully created mural out there on the building, and it's Kahuku. I know very little about some of the services that are provided. Dr. Jason, you work in the hospital and in the clinic. Tell me a little bit about what Kahuku has available. If I had some emergency up in the North Shore, I might want to go there. What sorts of things do you see?
Well, first, anytime you're up on the North Shore, please take the time to come in. We'd love to take you on a tour.
Well, there's so much traffic, I will take you up on it because I will probably be looking for the ladies' room. But absolutely. I mean, I think it's a wonderful facility that I honestly have never walked into. You've got a date. I'm going up there. I'm going to check it out. So what would I see when I walk in?
So we have a full ER. It's staffed 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, by a board-certified emergency physician. We're able to take care of really anything that gets through the door, whether it's a surfing, automobile, any emergency that you need to have addressed. We're able to transport if it's something that we can't handle within our ER and requires further medical service. We also have a 21-bed critical access hospital upstairs. We have four long-term care beds where there are residents that live in the hospital, and we have currently hospice beds as well for people that need inpatient hospice care, and then 15 what we call swing beds, which allow us to admit a patient either acutely or for skilled nursing needs.
So you're able to, when you say swing, you mean you're able to change those beds to what the requirements are of the person who comes in?
Correct. And we also have a full outpatient clinic, four-room outpatient clinic. We are happy and excited to provide, you know, the full breadth of primary care services to the area. We have an in-house lab that allows us to do blood work both for our own patients, but anyone in the community can come and get their blood drawn. We have outpatient radiology that can do X-rays, ultrasound, CT scan. We have a wonderful physical therapy department as well. They do physical and occupational therapy. We have speech on demand. Speech therapy on demand, and so really it's a wonderful place to be and provide care.
Well, and you have a community that on Oahu is considered a rural community. Now, Stephanie, Dr. Jason used the term critical access. What exactly does that mean? I think critical access and I think trauma, and yet that is absolutely not what we're talking about. What is the definition of a critical access facility?
So a critical access designation is given by CMS, or the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid. So it's a designation regarding rural. So we have to be so many miles away from a larger acute care facility, on a two-lane highway. So there's different criteria that we had to meet in order to get this designation.
And what happens with the designation? Why is that to your advantage?
Well, so we became a critical access hospital, I think it was 1998. And it was for the way we get paid. So we get cost-based reimbursement. So that is an important part, especially for our Medicare and Medicaid patients.
So when you say cost-based, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes. So the cost of care, if you have Medicare or Medicaid, every year it changes depending on how much cost it takes it takes to care for that particular patient. So every year that cost changes in regards to our reimbursement from Medicare.
Got it. So whereas in a hospital that I might work out in town, you get paid a DRG or a diagnostic-related group amount, that amount that you get is created by CMS, again, Centers for Medicare and Medicaid. They make a decision on how much that reimbursement is going to be for that diagnosis.
Correct.
But when you're a critical access hospital in a rural facility, they will pay you what is required for your cost so that you can stay open.
Correct. A one lump sum per day.
And so that way you can keep the doors open, and depending on, you don't really have control over what goes through, what comes into your front door. So it enables you to provide the services that you need and have that financial backing.
Correct. Yes.
And that's important because, you know, lots of hospitals have had some serious concerns financially over the last few years, particularly, you know, any time in the last 10 years, we've seen a lot of changes that have occurred in the hospital world throughout, not just Oahu or not just in Hawaii, but also across the mainland as well. So this has really helped you to be able to provide the services that you do.
Yes, definitely. And yeah, back in 2007, I'm sure some of you remember, we were on the brink of bankruptcy as well. And so we were fortunate enough that the state stepped in and we became an affiliate of the Hawaii Health Systems Corporation. And we've been able to receive some funding to also help us continue to service our patients.
And your patients are happy.
Yes.
You've recently been listed as one of the top 20 hospitals in patient satisfaction.
Yes, we are completely overjoyed. We hit the top 20 critical access hospitals in the nation for highest patient satisfaction through the National Rural Health Association.
And how many hospitals are in that group? Quite a few.
So there's about 1,400 critical access hospitals across the country.
So out of 1,400 hospitals, Kahuku on the north shore of Oahu is in the top 20.
Yes, we're super excited and so grateful for our awesome employees who provide excellent quality care.
Well, absolutely, as you should be. That's a fantastic statement to what sort of services you're providing and to how people feel comfortable getting their care there. Now, Dr. Jason, you see patients in the hospital and also in the clinic.
Correct.
So what sort of things do you see in the clinic most often?
So imagine very similar to what you might see in any primary care office. We see a lot of the lifestyle-related conditions like diabetes and high blood pressure, cholesterol and gout. We see cardiology issues, you know, heart disease, kidney disease, a lot of asthma and pulmonary-related conditions. Being so remote, sometimes it's a little difficult to get people to see a specialist when they need to. So there are times where you work really closely with specialists on the island on giving them the care they need up on the North Shore.
It sounds like you see a lot of what I see.
I imagine it's very similar.
It's very similar, but sometimes I wonder if the management that you have to do is a lot more difficult than the management that I have to do. And the part of the reason I say that is that, you know, if I have someone that needs to see a specialist, I can just schedule them to go see whoever is, you know, in this group that I work with, or anyone. You know, I can have them see other doctors. There's really no limit, because if they can make it to town to see me, they can also see my colleague who's on a different floor across the street, etc. But for you, Dr. Hughes, that's a little bit different of a story.
It is. It's one of the challenges to being a physician in a rural area. It's one of the challenges that we embrace. I think it certainly allows you to study and to be on top of, you know, current literature as far as a lot of different conditions go. It also allows you to build some really meaningful relationships with the specialists that you're sending patients to. For us, we have a big desire to bring those specialists to the North Shore. You know, it's hard when a patient has to drive an hour and a half each direction. They wait, you know, 45 minutes in someone's waiting room and talk to the specialist for 10 or 15 minutes and then drive an hour and a half back. You know, our goal is to see that those specialists are able to come to the North Shore and see patients in their own community, in their own home, and really expand those services up to the North Shore.
Well, that is definitely a good goal, and hopefully that'll be something you'll see more of. I want to come visit, but unfortunately, you do a better job than I do in your critical access rural office, because I kind of wonder if I'd be able to do it just as well. All right, I'm Dr. Kathleen Kozak here in the studio with Stephanie Violetta. She's the CEO of Kahuku Medical Center, and Dr. Jason Hughes, Chief Medical Officer, and not only a hospitalist, but also an outpatient doc at Kahuku Medical Center. When we come back, We're going to talk some more about some of the challenges in rural medicine and what are some of the things that we all might need to do to keep ourselves healthy so maybe we don't have to wind up in the emergency room in the first place. There are some unique things about being in the North Shore that we can all learn from. We're going to talk with Dr. Hughes when we come back about some of those things we can do to help take care of ourselves. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Support for The Body Show comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, whose contributors help Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk show programming. Mahalo to the St. Andrew's Schools, which includes the Priory School for Girls, the Prep for Boys, and Queen Emma Preschool.
I remember when I was younger, I was briefly a member and donating, but when I came back, I decided I wanted to become a member only because I realized how valuable it was and how important it was to keep this really unique treasure on the radio, and because it had this wonderful mix of jazz, classical music, and news that sort of pushed me into the membership pool. My name is Blaine Saito, and I'm a sustaining member of Hawaii Public Radio.
Alô, minha gente. This is Sandy Tsukiyama, host of Brazilian Experience, inviting you to join me every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. as we take a musical journey to our largest neighbor in South America. We'll explore everything from Villa Lobos to Caipira, Bossa Nova to Favela Funk. That's Brazilian Experience, Sundays, 6 to 8 p.m.
Welcome back to The Body Show. I'm Dr. Kathleen Kozak here in the studio with my friends from Kahuku Medical Center that have offered to give me a tour and show me around what it's like to be up there in a rural facility that provides critical access to all of the patients up on the North Shore. We have Stephanie Violetti, CEO of Kahuku Medical Center, and Dr. Jason Hughes, Chief Medical Officer and a hospital physician at Kahuku Medical Center. And Dr. Jason, you also do house calls. You're making me feel like I'm not working at all, I'll tell you. So you're in the hospital, you're in the clinic. Tell me about house calls.
You know, it's a very special thing for me. You know, to have someone allow and invite you into their home, I think you can tell a lot about a person in the first 4 or 5 minutes in their home than you might in 4 or 5 years of seeing them in the clinic. I've had some really very special experiences and moments with families, and generally we like to focus on getting out to the kapuna, to those that may be disabled or have other challenges that make it really difficult to get into the clinic. And you can see, I've seen some patients where, you know, their entire home revolves around the care of a child and that has a disability. And you can really see the love and the amount of attention that child gets. It's moving. I mean, we've had times where we're both in tears at the end of the visit, just expressing our gratitude, me for them and the love that they share for their family member and the care that they're providing them, and them towards me for the opportunity to have me come into their home. It really is a special thing. I think it's a shame we don't do more of it.
Yeah, you know, when you think about medicine, way back when it first started, doctors came to people's houses, and that was just the most feasible way to do it. So you called the doctor, they came to your house. And now we've shifted entirely towards you come to the doctor. I think with technology, we may see a little bit of that change somewhat, maybe in the next few years. But there is a movement, and there's a lot of folks. I know I've read about this throughout the mainland where there's doctors who say, I don't want to have to deal with an office anymore. I'm just going to go see my patients where they live. And you brought up some really good points. How often do you identify things that you could not see when they come to your office that you can see when they're in their own environment?
Every time. Every time you step foot in their house, you'll learn things that you might not have found or known about otherwise.
Give me an example. The care of family members you mentioned.
The care of family members, you know, it's interesting with the office-based practice. I mean, that is geared so much towards the physician. You know,
convenience of the doctor.
It all comes back to the doctor. And is very unpatient-centered. So one example I have of a patient that I've seen where it was really difficult for them to get out of the home. They had a very narrow stairway. They had a very narrow entrance and exit. It was really difficult to get a wheelchair in and out of that space. And of course, in some practices, if someone's more than 10 or 15 minutes late, you got to reschedule. And I could see it taking this family 45 minutes just to get out of their home. And I made a decision then and there that if this family ever shows up in the clinic, I will always say yes to that appointment, because I know how hard it was just to get out of the space, just get out of their own home. And that's only if there's not a time that I can come to them. So you learn a lot. You can see if they have several pills, several different bottles of medications, and they're all full. You know right away they're not taking those medications, and that might be why their blood pressure is still high or why their sugar is uncontrolled. So there's a lot of real significant benefits to being in the home.
Lots of things I could think of. Even just seeing their mobility and, how often. I just saw someone in my office today who tripped and fell because they had stuff in their bathroom that was in the way. And I looked at their daughter and said, well, can you move this stuff? And she's like, I don't even know what kind of stuff Mama has in the bathroom. She won't let me in to see. And I'm like, wow, okay. So the sorts of things that make someone fall and thus wind up in the emergency room, evaluated, they unfortunately had a compression fracture, et cetera, those are real serious medical conditions that can be prevented. If you were to go in and see something and say, you need to rearrange something, or maybe you gotta, if you trip on the rug, they're gonna trip on the rug. So just to try and make some of those identifiable, simple changes that means so much depending on how that person gets around their house.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And our physical therapy department has been wonderful with going out into patients' homes as well and doing a full home safety eval. And they'll come through and look at, where are their carpets? Where are their cords that you might trip over? Where could we place handrails along the hallway or in the restroom or in the bathroom that really allow you to have that support in times when you're going to expect to need it? So it's been wonderful. And if we can, like you mentioned, prevent that compression fracture, you just save that patient, that person, from a lot of discomfort and pain, medications which have their own side effects and own complications. And you really can be more proactive in taking care of them.
Absolutely. I think if we can help to make things safer for folks. And the good news is, in addition to Kahuku providing this, I think a lot of physical therapy areas can go into the home and do this safety assessment. So if you don't happen to live up in the North Shore, but you do have a loved one who lives in town or even on neighbor islands, there are ways that you can have this provided, particularly if there's a concern about safety.
Absolutely.
Lots of our older homes have really small hallways, small doorways. You can't maneuver a wheelchair. You also can't maneuver a walker or some of the other assistive devices that people may need.
Absolutely. Yeah, so, ask your primary care doctor about it. They can ask for a home health safety eval through several different agencies that do home visits, and it's worth it. It's worth the effort.
And I have to say, it's kind of, it's sad, but I will admit it. I've stayed in hotels and other places, and I'm like, wow, I'm in the hotel with the shower bar, and you better believe I'm grabbing on the bar because it's slippery in the bathroom. And I'm like, wow, maybe I should have one of these in my house. This is really convenient. So it's one of those things, you never know you need it until there it is, and wow, look at that, I'm actually using it. So one of those things that really does make a difference. Now, Stephanie, I'm curious. Kahuku has done such a great job in the last couple of years being able to come back from financial issues and providing this great level of service for the community. We heard from Dr. Hughes about the idea of getting specialists to come to Kahuku. What are some of the other visions and plans that you can foresee in the near and maybe even distant future, looking at where Kahuku can really provide this excellent level of care and the medical services for the population? As it seems like we're always hearing that there's more plans for development, there's going to be more people and more population out in that location. What are some of the upcoming plans for the future?
Well, there's a huge shift towards focusing on wellness and being more proactive. And we talk about personal responsibility, and we talk about what kind of wraparound services we can provide, especially looking at social determinants. So in regards to our strategic planning, we've just been trying to figure out how we can do that. And one of those ways was implementing primary care. So we opened up our clinic 2 years ago. And then we don't have a rec center in our area. So if people want to work out, they either have to go to the high school or, there's little CrossFits or little gyms here and there. But there's nothing that encompasses or welcomes families to be able to exercise together. So we've identified, the need for a rec center or some kind of gym, wellness center. Dialysis is still an identified need. More medical office space is to be able to offer other services like how we talked about for specialists. So just trying to prioritize those needs and being able to figure out how we can incorporate them onto our campus. We have a little over 7 acres, and really be able to partner and collaborate with more organizations.
Well, it sounds like there's a lot going on.
Definitely.
Definitely. Hopefully helping to provide more services for the patients in the local community, but also expanding to really look at some of the challenges of providing primary care in a rural area when wellness really is the focus. I'm Dr. Kathleen Kozak. We'll be right back after this quick break. We're going to continue talking with Dr. Jason Hughes and Stephanie Violetti of Kahuku Medical Center. And when we come back, we're going to talk some more about some of the services that are there and some of the challenges and differences in how medicine may need to be practiced when you are in a critical access rural location. We'll be right back after this quick break.
Support for The Body Show comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributors Ekahi Ornish Lifestyle Medicine, Hawaii Pacific University, and Ulupono Initiative.
Welcome back to The Body Show. I'm Dr. Kathleen Kozak here in the studio. We're hearing about Kahuku Medical Center. What are some of the great things that have helped them to provide more care to their local community? And what future plans do they have for outreach? Now, right before the break, we heard from CEO Stephanie Violetti, who was telling us a little bit about what's going to happen if they can get the additional funding and can find a way to partner to increase the availability of certain services that don't seem to be present as much now. Things from wellness centers and a place to work out to dialysis. Now, I'm curious, Stephanie, right now, what happens to people on the North Shore who need dialysis? Do they have to drive half hour or so to get to a dialysis center?
So it's at least an hour, and majority of them take the handy van. So it could be up to 2-3 hours to get to their dialysis, which is about an hour away on both sides if you just did a straight shot.
And then you have 3 hours of dialysis.
Yes.
And then you wait for handy van to pick you up.
Correct.
This is an all-day affair.
It is. By the time patients get home, they're exhausted and don't have much energy to do anything else.
And that's 3 days a week.
And that's 3 days a week, yes.
So almost half the week. Anyone who needs dialysis up in the North Shore, that's a whole day affair.
Yes, definitely.
I can see where that is a huge need, yeah, as far as providing access, because dialysis is something that we see a lot of people who get high blood pressure and diabetes and other sorts of risk factors, hypertension. These are the things that lead to kidney problems and lead to kidney failure. And this is the population that we really need to take a look at trying to service even better than we do now. Now, Dr. Hughes, you mentioned that primary care is something that you're really committed to providing. When you see folks who have this need to see specialists, it would be great if the specialists came to you. That probably isn't happening as often as everyone would like, because we also have a limited number of specialists in various different areas. What do you do if you need someone to be seen, or you have questions, or have you established a network of folks that you can call and kind of get information about, or get information about how to treat certain conditions? This would be one of those things where I'm glad I'm in an urban setting, because I can call somebody who can see a patient, and you know, it's so easy for me. It almost is too easy. And it seems like that would be such a challenge for you. How do you manage that?
It is. You know, I came from an urban area where I was practicing before coming to Hawaii, and had the same benefits that you did, as far as we had ortho on the floor above us and infectious disease on the floor above them. And It is a unique challenge, practicing in rural medicine. I think it might be one of the things that sometimes dissuades people from pursuing a career in rural medicine. But it comes back to the relationships. You know, I've been very blessed and fortunate to have some really meaningful relationships with some of the specialists that we use. And it does afford us a lot of abilities to, you know, call them or even text them about a patient that I have a question about. I've had several times where I might be in the room with the patient on the phone with the specialist asking for advice or direction, or what they would like me to do in preparation for an appointment for the patient to see them in the near future. We've been able to work people in a very quick way, again, going back to those relationships and just understanding that the patient comes first, like you mentioned before. So really, the physicians here have been excellent. It's really been a wonderful place to practice because of that environment that we have.
And that additional challenge, which puts you in the hot seat in a way, to try and manage complicated medical problems without having that ease of access, I'll be honest, has probably made you a great doctor as a result of that.
Well, that's thoughtful. I mean, our patients are satisfied.
They very much are.
We're excited about that. But no, it does. It affords you a lot of unique opportunities to really grow into a role that you might not have to grow into if you have everything right at your disposal.
But it's funny because my older brother is actually a family practice doc in a rural community. And so I understand, and we talk about different patients, and he'll take things much further on his own because of the lack of access of specialists within an hour, hour and a half. And I'll be amazed. I'll be like, wow, that's what I would have sent the patient to see the cardiologist for. So, you know, it's almost like I tell him, I'm like, you're a cowboy in medicine. So I'd like to say, Dr. Hughes, you're a cowboy as well. Now, do you see in the future telemedicine actually helping to ease some of that access issue about really changing the way that you're able to practice in a way?
Absolutely. I think telemedicine and the advances in technology are going to make medicine, it's going to change it in a lot of ways that we may not even expect yet. I think certainly from a primary care standpoint, we could do, you know, some of those visits that we have people come in for could be done through a telemedicine portal. Certainly the specialists, that can be done in several different ways, as long as you have a good connection and good camera. And a lot of the specialists, that might be all they need. So we're actively pursuing telemedicine options, both within the ER and tele-stroke and tele-neurology, as well as other specialties that might be interested.
Yeah, I would think dermatology would be one of those ones that, you know, I have I have some friends who text me pictures of moles, and they are not my patients, and that is on my cell phone, people. And that winds up in my photos, you know, so really. But you never know. People will text you a lot of things. But I think a lot of the visual type of specialties actually can benefit quite a bit from having that picture shown to them. And for a patient's perspective, just being able to have somebody take a look at it and say, yeah, this is urgent, go this week, or, you know, this doesn't look serious, 3 weeks from now is perfectly okay when it's convenient. Those sorts of things really are to the advantage of the patients. And I guess it all brings it back to, what can we do to service the patient population that we have? How many patients do you think Kahuku Medical Center serves in the community? Stephanie, you might know this.
We average almost 7,000 ER visits.
7,000 ER visits a year?
Yeah, almost. Uh-huh, approximately.
And do you know the stats on the clinic yet?
The clinic, we average, how many patients? Probably around...
About 30, 35 a day,
yeah.
We say, is pretty safe. And it's in the total number, we have a lot of tourists that come in, and we have a lot of people that are visiting that may make that number a little bit difficult to assess as far as who truly are coming from the community.
Well, and that's right. You have a tourist population as well.
We do. And we do see a lot of ocean-related visits and things like that. The growth has been wonderful. The response from the community has been just fabulous. And it's always rewarding when you see people in the community that come to you and say, hey, I was in your clinic and I really appreciated how they drew my blood and everything like that.
Well, and we appreciate hearing from both of you. So thank you, Stephanie Violetti, CEO of Kahuku Medical Center. Dr. Jason Hughes, I've designated you cowboy, chief medical officer, and hospitalist, and inpatient, outpatient home visits at Kahuku Medical Center. If you'd like to hear this show again, you can always click on our Facebook page or our podcast, hawaiipublicradio.org. Our engineer is David Chong, our executive producer, Beth Ann Koslovich. I'm Dr. Kathleen Kozak. We'll see you next week right here on The Body Show.